I've always heard you take a deep breath when you're nervous. I always seem to be very nervous when I get up here. I always think about what was said in James chapter 3 and verse 1. Brethren, let not many of you become teachers, because we will receive a stricter judgment. So what I plan this morning to speak about, I hope, is in accordance with God's word. And it's something that he wants. I always think about, what would God want me to speak about? Well, I changed my mind originally what I was going to speak about, and I did a quick U-turn this week, and I was going to speak to you about the truth, not just the truth, but God's truth, based on what Pilate said when he interacted with Jesus. He asked Jesus, what is truth? Well, you know, when you think of Pilate, it didn't really matter what the truth was with Pilate, because whatever the truth was what the emperor said it was. And we have lawmakers that think that way today. They think whatever they say is the truth. Now, I know that Pilate probably said that in contempt, because Jesus didn't answer him. But Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In Proverbs, we read, "Buy the truth and sell it not." And that will be the topic that I speak about next time. What I want to speak about today is what's important for us, was what does God say about the truth. And so this morning, there's a lot of things we could talk about God's truth. Jerry mentioned gambling. What's the truth? What does God say about gambling? What does God say about a lot of things? Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you about what God says about abortion. And I don't really consider this an uplifting or a pleasant topic. And also, it's something that certainly can't be covered in 20 or 30 minutes. But you know, I don't really remember this topic being addressed before. It very well may have been, but I'm sure it probably has sometime, but not recently, I don't think. So the only thing that I will be able to do this morning is highlight some of the thoughts that come from Scripture, because you really can't get to all the Scripture about what God has to say. And I was stirred to do this when I heard about the law that the state of New York had passed, their new abortion law. And then we had the governor of Virginia come out, and he proposed a law for their state that was even went farther than the law in the state of New York. And I just want you to know that I think this is an evil in our country. This is an evil. I think it's a program of Satan. I think it's where this comes from. And I think it's a danger for our company because of the coming wrath of God. I think the wrath of God is going to come down on us for all these abortions. I think I first want to consider a few thoughts from the Old Testament that in Genesis chapter 2 and 7 it reads, "God breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul." Now some of your Bibles will say, "He became a living being." I kind of like, "He became a living soul." I believe that a baby has a soul. And all souls are of great value to God. It's not something to trifle about. When we go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, we see that one of the seven things that God hates is hands that shed innocent blood. And that's exactly what has happened. Innocent blood is being shed. I can't imagine someone even thinking of doing this, let alone actually doing it. We have in the Bible that children are referred to as innocents. And a prime example of innocence in the Bible being referred to are the killing of the innocents by King Manasseh. This was King Hezekiah's son. As you recall, King Hezekiah is considered one of the good kings. He tore down the high places and the idols and those type things. But when he died, his son Manasseh came along and he built them all back. And he led Israel into idolatry. And not only that, he sacrificed his own sons to Molech, which is the god of the Ammonites, actually the fire god of the Ammonites. And so he led the way, sacrificed his own sons. And, you know, the cries of those children were drowned out by loud drums banging, so you couldn't hear them crying when they were put in the fire. Now, what we call this is infanticide, which is where these laws, these abortion laws, will eventually lead, is to infanticide. The New York law allows abortion right up to birth. The proposed Virginia law would have made it possible even after the birth of the baby to kill the baby. The doctor and the mother would talk about what to do. Horrendous. Well, what would it lead to? Well, you know, eventually it's going to lead to the killing of the elderly, the mentally challenged, the diseased. And so this is where this will lead. But you know, this is not the first time that Israel had worshipped Moloch. Solomon, he built high places for his foreign wives to Moloch. Israel worshipped Moloch in the desert wanderings. You can go to 2 Kings chapter 23 and 10 and read that. You can also read that in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 26 and verse 31. Is it any wonder that God wanted these Canaanite tribes completely and utterly destroyed? Just for this one thing would be bad enough. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and 10, Josiah comes along. He's a good king, and he destroyed the temple that was in the Valley of Hinnom that was dedicated to child sacrifice. So right outside the outskirts of Jerusalem in the Valley of Hinnom, we had this going on. We also see reference to Moloch the fire god in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21, chapter 20 and verse 2, Deuteronomy 12 and 31. And then going to Isaiah chapter 5 and 20, we read, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And this is really what is being espoused today. Evil is being called good, good. You know, Planned Parenthood thinks it's good to sell baby parts. And they think that's good. And that's one of the most horrendous evils there ever was. And I don't recall who said this. I tried to find it. But it says to promote a lie, you must silence the truth. And that's really what's going on here, a silencing of the truth. The abortionists are out shouting those that object. And they're electing people that agree with them. You know, America and the world is making King Manasseh look tame. In Mark chapter 3, verses 24 to 25, Jesus said, If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And we may very well be heading that way. Matthew chapter 9, and verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Well, abortion prevents this. Two of the things that the New York law does is it removes abortion from the state criminal court, so it's not going to any longer be criminal in the state of New York, and it puts it under the public health laws. By putting it under the public health laws, it allows other people other than doctors to perform abortions. Midwives, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, people such as these will now be able to do this without fear of government. Thirdly, any time after 24 months, the abortion can take place all the way up to birth if the woman's life is in danger. But if we put all that aside, can you see the abuse that's going to come from this? You know, it never stops at the law. It always goes further. Since 1973, approximately 54 million babies have been killed, and some say 60 plus million. And the thing is, eventually what happens on the East Coast and the West Coast, it usually finds its way to the Midwest eventually. So look out, because it's going to be coming. Because this is an evil in our land. Genesis 6 and chapter 5, we read, "The wickedness of man was great in the earth." And abortion is now great in the United States. Every day in our country, innocents are being put to death. They're being labeled as something that's not even life. But our God does not see it that way. Our country supposedly was founded on biblical principles, but today we have a country that is really at war with God when it comes to abortion. On January 22, 1973, abortion was legalized, in which the word person, as used in the 14th Amendment, does not include the unborn. So, in Roe versus Wade, what they're saying is a fetus is not a person. In about 1994, I read an article in the Gospel Advocate magazine, and it said, if wombs had windows, there would be no abortion. Well, that's not true anymore, because we can, the instruments and things that we have now, you can see in the womb. Now, since 1994, especially starting about 1973, there were other articles that were written that had that same title. If there were, the womb had windows, there would be no abortion. But it's not true. You know, in other areas, we deem things as valuable. I can remember, and probably most of you here can remember, when if you broke an eagle's egg, you could be fined $25,000, or you would have to serve 1 to 5 years in jail. So we value something that doesn't have a soul, something that's not going to live forever, more than we do a human life. And that's really disgusting. You know, there was a great outcry about protecting the eagle. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you see the comparison there. You can abort a human being with the government approval. And, a human fetus is a lot more valuable than a bald eagle, a snail darter, all of these types of things. But God will have the final say on this subject. There's no doubt about it. God will have the final say. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It reads that God is able to cast down the imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But when you have the knowledge of God, you know that God hates abortion. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we are to expose or reprove those things. And when we do that, God will stand with us when we expose or we reprove evil. You know, there's a lot of conflicting questions when it comes to questions about abortions. Is it a right or is it murder? Is it a right to choose to get rid of a baby, or is a right to have the freedom to get rid of a baby? If a fetus is an unborn child, is a fetus a human being? How do we separate life from non-life, non-human? When does life really begin? These are all questions that come up. Well, as far as God is concerned, it begins at conception. You know, I wonder what our history would be like if some of the people that were, even in biblical times and our times, that contributed a lot to society had been aborted. How would it have changed our history? What if Abraham Lincoln had been aborted? Would slavery have been abolished? Probably would, but it probably took a lot longer. From the earliest stages, 7 to 8 weeks, there's a human body inside the womb where all the body systems are present. At 8 weeks, a baby can grip, a baby can suck his thumb, all the things an adult can do. In 10 weeks, the structure of the human body is formed. At 12 weeks, can curl its toes, make a fist, open its mouth. So from conception, a baby grows. It's just the human process. It's the beginning. And it grows all the way through till it grows to a full-grown adult, to an elderly person, until it passes on. We also know that a baby can feel pain in the womb. It's sensitive to all the things that we are. But, you know, really scientific evidence is not really what we're concerned with here. We want to know, is there any word from the Lord? This is what was said in Jeremiah 17 and 7. Is there any word from the Lord? You need to go through your Bible and find out what God has to say about abortion. The next thing I would ask is there any distinction between a fetus and a child? If we go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, Scripture says that Mary was with child. In other words, she was pregnant. The word child is used to describe a woman who is carrying a baby in her womb that's not been born yet. Let me repeat that. The word child is used to describe a woman carrying a baby in her womb who has not been born yet. Whether it is in the womb or whether it is born, it's the same word. It's called a child in Mary's womb. And then when you go to Luke chapter 1 and 41, we have the baby leaped in her womb. It's called a baby there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, you shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The word for baby, child, infant are all the same in Scripture. It's the same word, and it's called breasthos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. So child, baby, infant, fetus, all the same word is used in Scripture to describe a woman who is pregnant and also describe an infant child. The child in swaddling clothes, the child in the womb, same word. And going to Psalm 139 in verses 13 and then verse 16 that Bill read for us this morning, David says, you, speaking of God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David was aware that God had formed him in the womb. Has anything changed? Nothing's changed. He realized that his life in the womb was the same as out of it. Verse 13 and 16, he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made skillfully and secretly. Now, I don't know how David knew this, but maybe perhaps God revealed to it. Maybe their medical stuff was that far advanced. Maybe he took a class in physiology. I don't know how he knew this, but he knew it. And we can know that. We know this. In any event, he realized his life in the womb was the same as his life out of it. Some other passages that show abortion is clearly wrong. In Exodus chapter 21 verses 22 through 25, God says, if two men fight and hurt a woman, that is a woman who is pregnant, with child, and any harm follows to the child, you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and so on. So if the baby lives, the judges can impose a fine, or the husband can impose a a penalty. Just if the child is injured. If the baby dies, the life of a full-grown adult is to be forfeited. That is, if the baby in the womb dies and an adult causes it, that person is to be put to death. Pure and simple. So an unborn child, a fetus in our language, is just as important as a full-grown adult in God's eyes. That's what that passage is telling us. And the same punishment is to be administered to the fetus as if the child was alive. Amos chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that God will punish the people of Ammon for four transgressions. It reads 3 and then 4. And one of them is because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead. So what did they do? They cut the woman open so the child would die. And here is a case where we have really a double murder. Because I'm sure in most instances the mother would also die. Under the New York law, you couldn't be punished for the child dying. The reason they did this was to increase their population and decrease the population of their enemies. And these are all sins because they violated God's will. When you see transgression in the Bible, you think sin. Because that's what it is, it's sin. I guess it's a dressed up word for sin. So we had a double murder. So this new and proposed law is going to take away killing a fetus as being a crime, when actually what it is murder. You know, you got to wonder, when did we decide as a people that life was different inside the womb and outside? Perhaps that happened a long time ago. It probably happened before our existence here on earth. The thing about it is, do we not fear the wrath of God? We've got to ask ourselves that question. You know, there's 11 references to the wrath of God in the New Testament. And I think it would probably be a good idea for us to review them, if you have time to review those 11 references. I'd encourage that. So then you have to ask the question, well, what can I do? I mean, most of us aren't influential people. Well, the first thing, of course, is prayer. It's something we need to do. We need to pray about what is going on, really not just in our country, but in the world. But in our country especially, we need to fear the wrath of God that's going to come. Next, we must realize that we have to stand in opposition to abortion, if nothing else, because God opposes it. And that's the best reason. God opposes it. When we have an opportunity, we have to do our part to teach and encourage others about the sanctity of life. Life is valuable. It's special because we're made in the image of God. If for no other reason than that. We need to promote and be an example that we were created to honor and to glorify God in our life and do everything in our life to lift up the name of Jesus the Christ. So if we find ourselves in a situation where someone is contemplating abortion, we need to find some way to counsel that person that that's not the best option. Because it's not an option at all in the eyes of God. As Christians, we have got to start letting our government know how we feel about abortion laws. I have not heard my congressman comment, agree or disagree on the New York State law and the proposed Virginia law. So I sent him an email a few days ago. And I related that I had not heard from him publicly. I had not heard him repute it or say anything at all about it. And I recommended that he do so, because we need to know where these people stand. Because our government is one day going to be responsible to God for its decision. And when I say government, I mean each individual man or woman in Congress that makes these laws, that approves things like this. If we have an opportunity to vote against any ungodly measures that are not acceptable in the sight of God, we need to be sure that we do so. You don't need to be politically active or deeply involved to do those things. It's something that everyone has an obligation to do in our country. We need to know where a politician stands on evil before we vote for them, irregardless of party affiliation, whatever. After all, abortion was made legal through the political process. It's going to have to be undone through the political process. You know, I have one regret among many. I have several regrets, but I really have one that I regret. In my life, and I remember it was 25 years ago at least, maybe more, and it was concerning abortion. I was privy to a conversation where a Christian woman was defending her daughter's action for having an abortion. And the reason I can't get it out of my mind, I didn't agree, but I didn't disagree. I didn't say anything. So we have to find our voice when these things come up. I mean, we're not going to run across this every day, but if you happen to run across this, it's time to speak up. Because there's everlasting consequences if we don't. I kind of look at it as akin to not presenting the gospel when you have an opportunity. Not counseling about abortion when you have an opportunity is in relation to that. And you know, I can't really realistically speak to the effects that this would have or the effect that this would have on a woman. I don't know if there's trauma, if there's heartache or guilt or even the awareness of sin in many cases. But I would think somewhere down the road in that person's life, there got to be some consciousness of it, maybe some hurt, regret. How about peace of mind? And the best course of action, of course, is to not put yourself in that situation. And don't get me wrong. The man is just as much responsible for this as sinful action as a woman. He's going to be judged too. We need to remember what's written in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Can you imagine being hated by God? Would you want to be in that position? For any, you know, we can go back and look at what they call the seven deadly sins, but you don't want to be in that position. And if you have been in that position and you haven't done anything about it, you need to repent of it. Because God's message concerning salvation does deal with evil and sinful problems if you're willing to repent of it. God will forgive you through the blood of Jesus the Christ. King Manasseh repented, and God forgave him. Well, he had something to do, and he did it. He went and he tore down all the idols, especially the one to Moloch. He led Israel into infanticide. He repented of it. God forgave him, and he led them out of infanticide. In Matthew 12, verse 32, in Mark 3, verse 9, in Luke 12, verse 10, tells us that there's only one unforgivable sin, and abortion is not it. That's Mark 12, 32, Mark 3, verse 9, Luke 12, verse 10. So when you say, can the sin of abortion be forgiven? Absolutely, it can. You know, even if that's hard for me to grasp, like murder, that's hard for me to grasp, but God says through his son, Jesus the Christ, he will. And of course, the Bible tells us how to take care of that. We need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to repent of whatever sin it is that we've done. And we need to be immersed in water, where you'll receive the Holy Spirit in the remission of sin. Jesus has said, he who believes will be saved, and he who believes not shall be condemned. So if you don't want to be condemned, you need to do what the Bible tells you to do to be saved. And I would say, if you have not obeyed the gospel today, why not do it? There's no better time than right now. All things are ready. Brother Kevin's going to lead us in a closing hymn as we stand. And if you have something to bring for the congregation, please do so at this time.